Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and yes, even foes in the family. And to the standing between the living and the dead service family members. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, episode number 883, where I simply read the Word of God and give the sense of it or the understanding of it based on an authoritative commentary source, such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary and or the Matthew Henry Commentary, or both. This podcast is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The aim of this podcast, my beloved, is that through the simple reading of the Word of God and the giving of the sense of it, it is my humble prayer that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ would confess their sins and repent and get their hearts right with the Lord and be revived. And my prayer also is that the world would be awakened and saved from the wrath of God to come and saved from the eternal burning hell for those who refuse to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of their ungodly deeds and believe the gospel preached first and best by the Master Jesus Christ when he said the most wonderful, most loving, and most important words ever said to mankind. When he said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Today, beloved, we are reading Zechariah chapter 10, verse 6. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them, for I have mercy upon them. And they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you so much for your holy word, for your mercy, your love, and your grace that is shown in your holy word to your people and to your Gentile people through the church. And I do pray now that you'd grant me your energy, your grace, and your strength, your unction, your anointing, your freedom, your liberty, and the power of your Holy Spirit to love your holy word, to cherish it, to obey it, to understand it, and to apply it to our lives and to share it with others. and to teach it to others in a discipleship way, and help them to understand it for a life change. And for Lord, you want us to change. You want us to be transformed. You want us to all grow and be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And also, Lord, grant me your energy, your grace, and your strength until my last breath in this sin-cursed world to preach and to proclaim your holy gospel. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I just read in your hearing Zechariah chapter 10, verse 6. Now, here is the sense of it from the Bible Knowledge Commentary of Dallas Theological Seminary, edited by Dr. Walvert and Dr. Zuck. These are men who are gifted by God to teach, but not only to teach, to dig like an archaeologist in the Bible so that they have something to teach. These are brothers who not only go deeper than most of us, they love going deeper. See, when you're called to do something, you love doing it. And even though it may be difficult, that's their gift. And it comes easy to them. It does not come easy to the rest of us. Always remember, dear friends, the people who are greatly successful in their lives are people who utilize their gift, their talent that God has given them. And you need to remain in your lane and do what God called you to do and gifted you to do. Stop beating your head up against the wall. Stop thinking that you have to be original to be successful. You don't. Stop acting like God has not used millions of people before you. And you might want to be humble yourself down and tap into what other people of God, other individuals that God has used to see what God said to them. Because one thing, yes, God will speak to you personally in your gifting and in your talent. And eventually he'll give you something original. But it's while you're being obedient to him, and it's based upon how he has gifted you and talented and given you talent to do. Your gift, the Bible says, will make room for you. And God has given all people natural abilities and talent. And have you noticed that some people who are famous and rich today never went to college? You know why? They tapped into what they found out what they were good at, and they stayed with that. And from that, they were able to have other people to help them, such as lawyers and business people. May I say, some good Jewish friends on Wall Street, to say, hey, now God has blessed you with this gift and talent. You made millions from it. You barely got out of high school. Okay, here's what you need to do. You need to invest. And then people, God will send you people alongside you to help you go a little higher based upon the talent that God gave you. And then they'll say, well, you need to invest in, you need to start a clothing line and use your downline because of your big name to sell it to the people who follow you. And that's a whole different business from your talent of singing, for example. Rihanna, case in point. and I believe millions more could have reached that goal of becoming millionaires if they used the gift that God gave them. Now, I believe whether you're gifted or not, for your own benefit, so that you can hold your own in any conversation in dealing with people, that you ought to go to college. Just take one or two courses a semester or whatever, in particular if you're already rich, and have somebody to tutor you, and so that you can talk intelligently with anybody. That's the thing about college for me. That's one of the things. You can relate to all people. There's just some things you're not going to get if you don't go to college. You may get rich without going to college, but if you want to become mentally rich and comfortable and not feeling behind, and there are people who will make you feel behind, and because they know that you're behind even though you're rich, and they relish trying to make you look dumb. So you don't want to be in that situation. You want to be able to talk intelligently without having to get all riled up and angry and mad and so forth. And you want to feel on the inside in a humble way that you can go toe-to-toe with anybody, the educated and the uneducated, or the half-educated. You understand? And that ought to be one of your goals in life, to finish your degree. And there have been many people who were talented playing football, basketball. Michael Jordan is one of them. He didn't have to go back to college. He left college early, got drafted, went into the NBA, tore it up, did great, became a multi-millionaire, and all of that instantaneously based upon his natural God-given talent. And then he went back to college and graduated. That's how you do it. That's something that everybody ought to want to do. Because, see, what college does for you, it brings you up to speed. It brings you up to speed. There are at least 50 things I would not even know about, much less handle, if I had not gone to college and finished. It brought me up to speed, and I'm one of those individuals. I went on the talent and gifts that God gave me. Yes, I did get a little degree, and someone gave me a doctorate for my service and so forth, but both were not accredited. And even after preaching, I guess, for 20-something years and having traveled all over the world and written books, popular books and so forth, and preached, pastored a church, and served as an evangelist, served the Lord as an evangelist around the world. That's my original calling. And planted a church and everything else. For some reason, because my first degree was not accredited, it was a Bible college that was not accredited by the government. It was accredited by other organizations, but not by the government. I had that something in me that I'm not quite where I should be. And I went for 4 years while raising a family of nine. I went back to college under an accredited program. And I'm telling you, it enriched my life immensely. There are things I would not be doing, words I would not be using, and with the understanding, people that I would not be able to go toe-to-toe with if I had not gone to that. That's just my bachelor's degree I went back and got. Just from that alone enriched my life a millionfold, I'm here to tell you. And may I just say this to you, that if you're college and you're young and you're single, difficult, more difficult if you're married to do this. But when you're college, you get into a program and they have a trip connected to your class, to the Mediterranean or whatever, depending on what class you're in. The good colleges, they know the value of taking the students on a trip based upon the course of study that they're in. Because I'm here to tell you, that will change your world. That's an education by itself, traveling to certain places with a guide who knows what he's talking about, who has been there many times. That trip is worth a year of college, at least. And I went on two. Transformed my life, okay? So get your college education. I don't care how gifted you are. That will add to your gift. And God wants you to do that. God will make a way for you, and then he wants you to get your education so that can be added to your gift. You're not a one-note individual. Not only can you sing and play football, but you can write books. You can deal with, you can have the, see, sometimes it's good to have education so that you know what people who might try to trick you or fool you, what they're talking about, and you can tell them, let them know up front, I'm not a dummy now. Okay. Have you read my resume before you came with this little plan? Did you read my resume? I graduated from college too. And it needs to be an accredited program, because under an accredited program, my beloved, it's going to be the same standard across the board. It's really not what college you go to. It's really what you make it. My oldest daughter, Dani, is extremely educated. I mean, she has two bachelors, two masters, and she's working on her PhD now. And I'm here to tell you, and she did it while she was young, and she's doing, I called her boss, one of her bosses the other day, and the first thing he told me, he said, sir, let me tell you something about your daughter. She is a superstar. Plus, she has two major jobs, plus three businesses, and she's been that way. She started that while she was home with me, before she went out on her own. And see, let me help you with this, about that college education. It allows you to do things much faster, because you don't have to, your axe is sharp, so you can get, not only get work done much faster, but get a whole lot of work done much faster. There's no way that I would have done, by the grace of God, the thousands of different things and the hundreds of different things that we have done in our ministry and business and reached millions of people with multiple outreaches without that education. It allows you to move faster. It allows you to get it done quicker. It allows you to get a whole lot done. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it talks about sharpening your axe. See, if you have a dull axe, you can't get much wood chopping done. But if you have a sharp axe, you can get double, quadruple the work done. Because you're not meeting with a whole lot of resistance. You cut a piece of wood one time, and it's done. But with the dull axe, you got to hit it three or four times. Okay? So I encourage you to do that. Do that for your own good. Use your talent to get where God wants you to be financially. And do that early. Don't wait. Some people wait to get their degree. That's dumb. Don't wait to get your degree. You do you. You do your thing while you're young and get yourself set up while you're young. When I was a young preacher, many people think I was 50, 60, 70 years old when I wrote Letters to Young Black Men. I was in my 20s when I wrote that book. I know it's unbelievable because it sounded like an old man telling young men what to do. I was a young man telling young men what to do. Amen. Because of God's wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight, and knowledge of the Bible. And that one book alone has helped put food on the table for me and my family, and kept a roof over our head. That one book alone. Other books are written, over 100 books now, I think, have helped now. But and so I get paid every month from that book to this day. And that was over 30 years ago. Okay? So, do something that will give you residual income or royalty income. If you can sing, if you can write some song, write some song. If you can write a movie, write the movie. That one movie will provide enough money for you to live on for the rest of your life. But pursue your education in a field that you're interested in. It may be history. You like history? Go for it. Okay? God has called you to preach? Go to seminary. But don't go to seminary right off the bat. Don't do that. Serve the Lord for a while, for 7 to 10 to 12 years. Then go to seminary. And that way you won't get messed up with seminary or Bible college. And so that's all free. I'm just trying to help you move on with your life. God wanted me to tell you that. Do what God called you to do. You have an interest in teaching. God has given you the gift of teaching. You have a natural God-given talent for that. Well then, do like Dr. Walver and Dr. Zuck, and get yourself in a situation where you can dig deep in the Word of God. If you love that, do it. Anyway, the Bible Knowledge Commentary says the Messiah will regather all Israel. The worldwide scope of this prophecy relating to both Israel and Judah, and God's activity on behalf of his chosen people, indicate that the final regathering of Israel just before the second advent of the Messiah is in view. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, save those who are lost under the sound of my voice as they hear the gospel. And I thank you for your holy word that says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I pray that you would save their souls today, change their lives, and help us to live out your holy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Scripture and the Sense podcast. Please remember to read the Word of God, the Holy Bible, each and every day of your life, and pray without ceasing to God about everything, and for wisdom to understand His Word and apply it to your life. Most importantly, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you shalt be saved. Please stay tuned for a complete presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you can get your soul saved from hell to that wonderful place called heaven when you die. May God bless you and keep you, is my prayer. Now, dear friends, if you're with us today and you do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him, Jesus Christ, for your soul's salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have failed God. We're all guilty before God. You do not have the right to look down your nose at others. You're just as wicked as others. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin always. You will be paid for your sins one day. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Our payday someday is death to these beautiful bodies. Death to so many things before you die. Death to marriages. Death to relationships. Death to material things. You will experience 1,000 deaths before you die because of sin. But ultimately you will die physically. Your body will be put in a cold, dark grave. And that ought to be frightening, because it is frightening. But more frightening is that your soul, if it dies without Christ, will go to a burning hell to spend eternity in a dark place, even though there's fire. You say, preacher, I don't believe that a loving God would put people in the hell. Well, Jesus Christ, the loving and lowly one, preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ, the loving one and the lowly one, preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. He said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Also the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Whatever you do, don't experience the second death, because it's bad news. Hell is bad news. But I have good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And he said these words to you before he left here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou and you shalt be saved. Pray and ask Jesus Christ to save your soul and to come into your heart and change your life. He will do it. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, and you're ready to trust him as your Savior, pray and ask him to save you, and he will. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer in what is called the sinner's prayer, or the prayer of salvation. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, that I have done evil in your sight. I am guilty because I have broken your Ten Commandments, your law. I've taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected my own parents. I have lied many times before. I have lusted after people and things and what others have. I've stolen things before. So Lord, that's 5 to 6 commandments I've already broken out of your Ten Commandments. And so please have mercy and grace upon me. For your holy Son's sake, Jesus Christ, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. And help me to turn from my evil ways. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, dear friend, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. And Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@GospelLightSociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good until next time. Now, I may be traveling here over the next few days, but I will resume preaching as soon as I get back, and I will do some preaching while I'm on the road. So thank you so much for your prayers. Please continue to pray for us, and we will continue to pray for you. God bless you. Until next time. See you.